Live from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and the callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Welcome to Chatterbox, everybody. You heard it. Hosts here on Chatterbox. We've got Adrian sitting next to me. Adrian, what's your name?
Tracy.
Good to meet you, Tracy. Good to have you back.
I figure since it's the last show.
This is Adrian's last day, so we're going to say goodbye to Tracy. Appreciate that. And, of course, we also have Ara. He was with us last week. Ara, thank you for being here.
Hey, what's up, guys?
And you might notice, well, since Alon needs a new co-host, The powers that be have given him a new co-host. And Ara is sitting next to me, hopefully more than one show. As I've said in the past, really, all I expect from a co-host is someone who'll be here. Just show up. That's all I want. And hopefully he'll excel and do more than just be here.
I filled that role.
You did.
You got a new co-host. I'm gracefully bowing
and
out.
And now you're leaving me.
Yes.
Once in a while, I'll actually talk to you.
Yeah. Well, that's the hope, the anticipation. And apparently you'll get us prizes to give away, too. I mean, right off the bat, first week with us, and you're already scoring us a bunch of PSP stuff. So.
Yes.
He's already a better co-host than I am.
Yeah. He's really pushing the envelope. So I appreciate that. And we're going to talk about some stories that you have, I guess. You went to L.A. this weekend.
That's right.
And have some things to talk about. Now, of course, behind the glass over there, Andrew running the show, making sure that everyone can hear us, even though he didn't think to tell me that the stream was down and no one can actually listen to the live stream. I had to find out from the listeners in the chat room about 5 minutes before we went on air, changed the website, fixed all up. If anybody wants to go to our website, it's chatterboxgameshow.com or chatterboxers.com, a little bit easier for you. And, there's a chat room there, there's forums there, there's all sorts of stuff. You can even play, like, Pac-Man on the website. I'm just waiting to get sued over that. Anyway, let's talk about the show today. We got a couple things we want to talk about. Last week, we neglected to talk about what I had wanted to get into, was basically Ara being a game designer. And we can talk a little bit more about your background now, too.
Yes, but only my background.
Yeah, we were talking about what happens when good games have to die, right? Because you've worked on at least one project, I think more than one, you've worked on and ended up not actually seeing the light of day.
Right. Well, when I worked in Texas, I used to work for Acclaim Studios Austin, and the project that we made there was called The Red Star, which is a video game based on the comic book of the same name.
Which I've never heard of, but...
And, yeah, most people haven't heard of it, but it was really interesting because it was basically like, okay, everybody, at least everyone who really plays games, knows the reputation that Acclaim had for the types of games that they would develop.
And by that, you mean crap.
Right, okay, sure.
Okay.
We had no illusions about that, but this was really like, the... kind of like the quintessential anti-Acclaim game, if there ever was one. I mean, it was very rooted in classic elements of gameplay. It was basically like, Double Dragon and Contra combined into one. And, everybody that worked on it with me, we were basically all really, classic game fans and stuff like that. And
yeah, for the record, if you go over to Ara's house, and everyone is welcome this weekend, you just come on by anytime. We'll be there.
Except for me.
He's got like...
Because I never get invited.
Every 2D shooter known to man over there and can tell you the difference between all the subtle differences from game to game.
Yeah,
and
so it's interesting you brought that up because it was like, working on this project was a dream come true for me. Not just because it was game development, but, two parts of the game. The game was basically like fighting and shooting, right? So I pretty much worked on, almost all the shooting parts. And yeah, I'm a rabid shooter fan and... By shooter, I don't mean FPS, although those are pretty cool, too.
Yeah, it's an interesting field trip going over to Ara's. I thought I had a museum of game history, but he's got a more well-thought-out and developed rack of games.
Well, it's just the side effect of the fact that I can't... I just have to get rid of stuff that I know that I don't like. I'm not like one of those collectors that will have closets full and full of games.
Yeah, I try not to be.
I don't know if I feel comfortable with you talking about his rack. I really don't know.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
There's shelves. I don't have any racks.
You've got... I don't know what the difference in definition is.
Actually, they're cubicles, really.
Basically, it's IKEA-ware.
Cubby holes.
It's his house. His entire house is IKEA. But it's nice. It's very classy and modern.
And Copenhagen.
And Copenhagen.
They don't have the cool couches at IKEA.
Classier and moderner. Anyway, so you've worked on some games, and the problem with this is one a really good project for you, but it ended up not actually happening.
Right. And, well, that was very interesting because it still yet remains to be seen whether this game is coming out. In fact, you know, the rights to it have been picked up by a publisher, but we're not sure precisely what's going to happen. So I'm really hopeful that it actually comes out, and you know, if it does, it very well may come out in the next few months, and that would be, you know, really totally kick-ass awesome.
All right. Well, we'll talk more about that after the break. Don't worry about it. You can say ass all you want.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah. There's only a couple words you can't say, but Andrew refuses to tell me what they are, so...
Because no one knows. Trust me. Working in radio, no one knows. There's like four words that you know you can't say, but besides that, yeah, it's a maybe.
Yeah, there's a bunch of others.
I'll be saying that a lot more then.
Yeah. Next segment, we'll go over all of them, just so you know.
On air, yeah. And we'll just get fined.
Weren't there like seven words you couldn't say or something?
Yeah, but half of those you can say now, too.
Oh, that's pretty...
No, it's extended. Anyway, we've got a couple minutes left, and so I want to talk about the other things we'll be discussing on the show, because there's more. So talk a little bit about games that don't actually happen, and you've got a bunch of friends in the industry who have the same issue, working on things that won't happen. Also want to discuss a little bit about gaming stereotypes, because after last week's show, it sounded like you held it in during the show, but then afterwards you're like, so on. You said a lot about women in gaming, and a friend of mine didn't really like what you had to say, and
yeah, I
had
think,
some opinions.
Yeah, I think I have a bone to pick with you, too, still.
Right on. Well, that's good. I'm ready to hear it, and certainly if anybody wants to call us, 866-536-1100. I'm curious what your opinion on gaming stereotypes is, and by that I mean, like, what stereotypes do you think actually apply to gaming preferences?
For example, do women really like to clean things?
Exactly. And of course they do. So tell me, what stereotypes do you think actually apply? Like, what do women like? What do kids like? What do adults like? And if there's a reason for that, some sort of environmental apparatus that feeds into these things. So give us a call at 866-536-1100. We're definitely looking for callers. These months now, between May and September-ish, basically between May and the Christmas rush, it's hell on the video game media, because there's nothing happening.
But you always say that before E3. Yeah, there's nothing to talk about. After E3, we talk about stuff for like 2 weeks, and then they're like, oh, we got nothing to talk about again.
Yeah, well...
We got plenty of stuff. We got you being an ass and pissing people off because you say girls like cleaning.
It's true.
My text message. We got games that die. We got a lot of stuff. This is going to be a great show. Get over it.
Okay. Man, this is getting tougher. I need to shrink it down. Only one co-host is, I think, a better solution.
Do you want me to leave?
Well, we'll keep you around for this show. All right, so what have we been playing lately? I've been playing a lot of Super Mario Kart. We've got one listener who actually likes to play Mario Kart with me online. Nobody else wants to be stepping up to the plate. We started a thread on the forum. Who's going to play? It's not been getting a lot of action. Maybe I haven't been looking at it. I don't know. But I'd like to get some four-player games together, so you should definitely hit up the forums, and we'll figure out a time to play. I think 8 p.m. on the weekdays is good. That seems to work for me. Although I don't think either of you two even have DSs.
Not DSs. Oh, I have a DS, but I don't have Mario Kart.
Oh, well. All right, forget you then. So what have you been playing lately?
Let's see. Actually, when I, ironically enough, when I visited my buddy up in L.A., even though I don't have a DS, I played a bunch of really cool DS games. There's actually one I wanted to tell you about. It's called Oenden.
Yeah, I'm working on getting myself a copy. I've played it
before. Which is not the full title, and I will not pronounce the full title.
No, I have no idea. But you can say Elite Beat Agents, because that's the American name.
That's much better.
You need to turn off your vibrating cell phone.
Oh, my God. We're being taken over.
Yeah. All right. So, I actually played that. A friend of mine has it. Nate Vig, old co-host here, his girlfriend has a Wenden or a Wandon or whatever. It's an interesting music game.
Yeah, so did you actually play it?
Of course.
So the type of game this is it's basically like, you know, it heavily uses the touchscreen, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, basically, you know, there's music playing, and they actually, all the songs in this game are actually real songs, which I'm not sure if you were aware of.
No, because they're all, you know, Japanese songs that I've never heard of.
Real Japanese songs, of course, so no one here has heard of them. You know, there's basically like, you know, on the top screen, there's kind of like a story going on. Like you're, you know, somebody's having like trouble. Like, I don't know. There's like one of the scenarios is like some kind of like office lady is trying to win the heart of her boss or something and competing with the other ones. And you've got the cheer squad to, you know, kind of like cheer her on or whatever.
Yeah, you're playing a group of male cheerleaders in
right.
this game.
You so, gotta love Japanese games.
Dude, it's this game is the height of wacky Japanese games.
And of course, that has no bearing on precisely what's happening in the gameplay. So,
yeah.
The game is actually like, you know, there's basically circles that appear or spots that appear around the screen, and you have to tap them in rhythm with the music.
Yeah, it's a fantastic game, and actually, we played some music on the air once, and I think we gave away a prize if someone guessed what the song was or what game it was from. It's a really fun game, but it is hard. It's very difficult, at least in the later stages of the game.
Yeah, it's pretty hardcore.
And it's weird, because you'd think just tapping a screen, if it says one, you tap one, and after one, you tap two, and after two, you tap three, right? You'd think it would be easy. Like, even Tracy could play the screen tapping game. It's like a 2-inch screen. How can you miss? Right?
I will find a way.
Yeah, but it is really hard, actually. And I actually planned on picking a copy up soon, if my friend's willing to sell it to me anyway. At one point, she's like, yeah, you can have this along, because I'm done with it, whenever you get a DS. Of course, it's been like 5 months now, so who knows what's happening. So anyway, I've been playing a lot of Mario Kart. You got to play Wenden. Did you play when you were down at IM 8-Bit in LA, did you play the Guitar Hero, the special Guitar Hero version, or do they not have that anymore?
You know what? I didn't play it, but I should have asked John about it, because he had like this crazy red guitar controller. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, they had a special version that had songs from Mega Man, and it was one song from Mega Man and one song from something else, I think, actually in a special version of Guitar Hero. I would have been very excited to play that myself.
Yeah,
didn't have
too.
A chance when I was down in LA for E3. Anyway, we're going to be back after the break. We're going to talk about where games go to die. And maybe some other topics, too. We've got, like, a whole show in front of us. So call us at 866-536-1100, and we'll be back after the break. Welcome back to the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. My name's Alon, I need a good descriptor for me. What kind of host am I, Tracy?
Sexy.
Sexy host. We've got Tracy sitting next to me, and of course on my other side we have Ara. He's the new co-host. Everyone's wondering, who's the new co-host now that Adrian / Tracy / Mysterio is leaving? And we've got Ara with us, and he's got a lot to talk about because he's actually in the industry. Me, I'm just a big poser. And like I said before we started the show earlier, we've got Andrew running the board over there behind the glass. Now, world renowned, famous, special is a good word. Running the boards. Thank you for that, Andrew. Now, we're going to talk about some things. But before we do, want to mention UAT. That's UAT.edu, the University of Advancing Technology, where I went and where several of you could go if you wanted, if you got accepted, I guess, to go learn about making games. So anyway, we want to talk about during this segment, at least I do anyway. About developing games that end up actually not getting released. And recently, you and I, Ara, sat down to dinner with some friends of yours that I guess you used to work with, and half the discussion was revolving around games they were working on yet knew were never going to be released.
Right. Well, I mean, it's always a heartbreak. You don't really know that it's never going to be released while you're making it, right? So if it's especially something that you pour your heart into, and, you know, you usually find out after the fact. I mean, if you know the games are going to be released, I doubt that, you know, people stick around, right? So everyone, I mean, working in the games industry is hard. You know, there's a lot of long hours. You put a lot of work into it. And finally, you know, when the game gets released, it's, you know, it's an accomplishment. And if it doesn't get released, it's, you know, it's an enormous letdown.
But how much motivation can you really have to be working on a game that you believe is never actually going to get released? Or were they just sort of blowing smoke to make themselves...
No, I don't think that they actually believe that. I don't think that it... I mean, I can't imagine, you know, I mean, I guess maybe in some situations, you know, maybe there's like, you know, some people, if they're on a project that's just like really going downhill and they're just like, you know, hanging around. Yeah, I suppose, you know, maybe you can work there and believe that the game's not going to get published if it's some kind of, you know, disaster project or something, which, you know, will happen from time to time in the industry.
And so what about the reverse of that? What about a project you really have no faith in, think shouldn't get released, but is getting pushed forward and goes out there anyway? Do you have any stories about that?
Nope.
No? Because your games haven't actually been released.
Well, I mean, you know, when I worked on the Red Star, it was the opposite of it, but it wasn't that opposite. It was, you know, I guess you're talking about a different and opposite, though.
Well, I was just thinking, like, I mean, you know more people who've worked on games than I do. And there's a lot of dissent in any industry. But
sure.
in an arts industry, in entertainment, you get that a lot.
Sure. It comes with the territory. I mean, everyone's got their opinion, you know, and everyone wants to voice it, and which is natural, and it's fine. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. A game, any kind of work of art, really, I mean, okay, whether a game's a work of art is a different discussion, but, you know, assuming that it is to some degree, you know, people will, you know, the game will go in a direction that a lot of people will not think is the best direction. And that's just, I mean, that's natural in any project, right? So it really, I mean, for me, I think that, like, it really depends on if you have to, you know, for a project to work, as far as, like, you know, people being really into it, even though they disagree, I think everyone on the team has to just kind of be on the same wavelength. Like, they kind of have to share the same philosophy.
And that's what happened to you when you worked on the small project, the Red Star.
And that was Red Star. I mean, I guess compared to, you know, Blockbuster, it wasn't that, but it wasn't really quite a small project either. I mean, we had like 30 people on our team.
Yeah, I mean, you showed it off at E3 and everything, so
that's
there was
right.
a lot of faith in the game that it was really going to happen. And then eventually, just because of timing, I guess, and it ended up not being released and disappointing the people who worked on it.
Right. Well, the worst thing about it was, in fact, that, you know, it was pretty much like release imminent, and basically, you know, the studio shut down, much to the surprise of all of us. I mean, you know, most of us thought that, you know, okay, like, things are bad, but basically we found out that, Acclaim closed down because, you know, the office was locked the next morning where we went to work, or tried to at least.
That's good, though, because then you have a day off. Like, I found out today I don't have to go to work tomorrow.
Yeah.
I was all excited, because normally I have to work every day, holiday or not.
Yeah, I had about 4 months off.
Yeah. No, that's cool.
Well, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Because you're like, you said, if you're working on a game that you don't think is going to come out, you don't work on it as hard. And I see that to an extent. But
let me just interject right there. Like, I don't think that anyone, like, unless there's, like, some kind of crazy situation where, like, you know, somebody's just, like, you know, I'm just here just to get my paycheck, I don't think anyone would hang around if they knew a game wasn't going to come out. I mean, I don't think that really happens. I think that, you know, that was just, you know, you were talking to a bunch of people who are disgruntled, basically.
Really? Well,
no wonder
it was such a fun evening.
So not indicative of the industry.
All right. Well, I certainly hope we go out to dinner with them again soon, then. A great bunch of gentlemen, by the way. I enjoy that. So what were you saying, Tracy?
No, I was going to ask, as making a game, do you get extra money when the game comes out, or if it sells a million copies? You on your end, I know, like, the bigger ups, they get bonus. But just for what you do, do you get extra money? So, because that would tell me if the games that I'm working on is not going to come out and I'm not going to get any extra money out of it, I'm like,
right.
Forget this, I'm gone. But if I know a game that sucks is going to come out, I'm still going to work just as hard on it because I want my cash.
Especially if it sucks and it's a big money maker.
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
Maybe we answer it after the break.
That's the music. We're going to be back after this. You have a little fun with CNN, and we'll be back after the break.
Hey, it's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one. Woohoo!
Welcome back, everybody, to the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. This is Sexy Alon and Tracy.
Hey.
And, of course, Ara.
Hey, Sexy Alon, how long has it been since you've taken a shower?
I think this is my third day now. I mean, I took a shower on Saturday.
That's very impressive.
So, Sunday and Monday.
Saturday morning, evening.
And that is the life of a style life challenger, my friend.
And yet you remain sexy.
Sexy every day. So, we were asking you a question before the break. When you're making a game and it doesn't come out, do you lose out on bonus, residuals, that sort of thing?
Well, that I don't think that was actually the question, but the answer to that is an obvious yes. But the other question, which Tracy was asking, I think it was basically just about, you know, do you get royalties when it does come out?
Which is exactly what I just said.
Yeah, just rewarded. But so you are going to work on a game that blows as long as you think it's going to make money. If Halo 86 is going to come out and you know it's the worst game ever, but you know it's still going to sell a million copies, you're going to work to try to make it look like it's not the worst.
You still
got to
put your name on that thing. Right. I mean, there's credits in every game.
Who reads? Who pays attention to the credits?
I do.
Yeah.
Because you're looking. Hey, I know him.
He's like the director who sits in the theater through all the credits and reads all 3,000 names off the Matrix movies.
Yeah, the only reason you do that
you got me.
At the movie theater is just to see if like the preview for the next one. No one does that.
You know, last night I watched Dawn of the Dead, and they did a really good thing. Right, the whole movie there was virtually no nudity. Right, and of course a movie like that requires nudity to keep my attention. And as soon as the credits hit. It's like my friend had seen it. He's like, wait, there's stuff during the credits. Don't get up. Don't turn it off. First thing, nakedness from a chick on a boat. It's like, oh, I better sit and watch the credits. Let me take a seat and watch what's going to happen next. And there was actually integral story plot in the credits.
They probably won't have that in many games.
No, probably not. But you can hope so. I mean, they were smart.
I would pay attention in the credits if they put nudity behind them.
I'm sorry. That was very tangential. So you miss out on some money because the game doesn't come out.
Right, and you know, if the company goes under, you also miss out on the salary you're supposed to get.
Yeah, you know, I've heard that.
But, I mean, normally, you know, it varies from company to company. You know, they usually give people incentives, designers, artists, what have you, incentives as far as, like, you know, profit sharing or...
But they also do that just for meeting goals during development as well, right?
I haven't personally... worked at a place that does that, although I mean, you know, they might do that too. I mean, it all depends, right? Everyone does it a little differently. But yeah, I mean, if a game sells a lot, if it's a big blockbuster game, they usually try to give, you know, the staff, you know, some kind of, you know, little extra bonus that corresponds to sales.
Yeah, like get the E3 demo up and running before E3 kind of milestone. That's important. All right. So anyway, let's move on. There was some other stuff I wanted to talk about. I had seeded this in the minds of the listeners, although apparently they don't listen because they're asking us to ask them a question so they can call in and answer. And I had asked earlier what gaming stereotypes you think exist and which are actually, you know, ones that really do apply, or are they just made up stereotypes, whatever. Where last week I was talking about women liking puzzle games because it had to do with tidying up things and making things neater and cleaner. And this is something I actually learned in college from a real professor, sort of real professor, in a video games class at Indiana University. I would never have noticed, as much as I like to think I'm observant. I'm not really that observant. But he made the point that women are naturally, and like we're talking a biological level here, more inclined to want to make things clean and neat.
Yeah, so let's talk about that a little bit.
Let's do it, because apparently you have an issue.
Yeah, although maybe you want to give out that phone number?
866-536-1100. We're here all the time between 9 and 10 on Monday nights.
Call us anytime, day or night.
Between 9 and 10 on Monday nights. 866-536-1100. We're waiting for the calls. I want to hear what you have to say about it, but first, I want to hear what Ara has to say about it.
All right, well, here's my point. You know, let's say you're playing Tetris, right?
I'm playing Tetris.
Tetris has a very, you know, cleaning up type of mechanic. I mean, you're making the screen, making the pieces on the screen disappear. I mean, that's the basic...
And producing stress when they're not neat.
Right. Okay. Well, you know, I mean, let's just talk about yourself when you're playing it. You know, isn't it satisfying for you to kind of like, you know, make those lines disappear and clean up the screen?
Uh-huh.
Well, you're not a girl.
I have a vagina.
Oh, damn.
I don't think it's because he's cleaning up. I think it's because he's a gamer and he's competitive and he wants the highest score possible.
Right.
No,
well,
I like being neat. I certainly, there are different ways to play it. And in fact, Tetris is a good example because there are different, people will choose specific strategies for that game. And, I choose a strategy which is very neat, and like stacking and I don't know, aiming to get Tetrises a lot.
Yeah.
And
so you're not trying to be clean. You're just trying to organize it so you can.
Well, that's even more clean than average playing.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that suggest that you have some kind of like?
Yeah,
you know,
but I never said that men don't. Nor did I ever say that I was anything. Even leaning toward masculine.
He's very.
But
have you seen his pictures on Chatterbox?
You be quiet. But I was saying that women have a greater tendency to this. And, I mean, you can tell that by a lot of the different games they play. Like, women actually make up the majority of gamers when you take into account all the different types of gaming that exist in the world. And online, they play all sorts of word games. And word games don't really fit into this particular discussion, but all sorts of online games that are very much like that. Solitaire is a good example. Free Play is a great example. Is it Free Play? What's the game
Free
I'm talking
Cell.
About? Free Cell.
Yeah.
And, you know, Tetris and your standard bubble puzzle games are fine examples of this. And, of course, you know, Katamari Damacy is the perfect cleanup game, although I haven't seen any difference between men and women liking that game.
Well, actually, in that game, you're kind of just, like, moving the mess from one point to another, like, from outside to, I mean, the ball's pretty messy.
Well, yeah. No, but it's a neat collection of mess. It's like putting all of the dirt into the dustpan instead of keeping it on the floor.
All right, I'll buy that.
And doing it well in a French maid outfit.
No, all the games you named are games that require thinking.
Uh-huh.
I think you're just basically trying to say without saying it that you think women like using their brain more so they're smarter than guys.
Well, I think he's got a point there.
No, I think they like practicing their brains more because they want to feel like they're smarter than guys.
So are you saying women are smarter or stupider?
I'm saying
than
they need more practice in order to compete with us.
All right. Call it. He's the one saying that they're stupider than guys. I didn't say that.
Y'all heard me.
All right.
It looks like we have callers, too, although my little list here doesn't show me anybody. I don't know if Andrew has a problem putting up the list, but let's take caller number one, whatever that means. We have Amy on the line?
All right.
That's right.
Oh, man. It's good to hear from a woman.
Yes.
I hope you're
not
wearing that French maid outfit
though.
That we discussed earlier. What was that?
I'm not just any woman, though. I'm one of our long list of ex-girlfriends.
Oh,
long
you're the
list.
One taking a shower.
Hey, what's up, Amy?
Hey.
So would you like to talk to Ara? I can get him if you'd like.
Well, I don't think she'd have much argument with me. I think she wants to talk to you, Alon.
All right, I'm here. What can I do for you?
Yeah, I was just going to comment on the gender stereotyping thing. I think there's a little bit of a delay, so I haven't heard exactly what you said in the past minute or two. But
nothing valuable, I guarantee it.
What?
Nothing valuable, I guarantee it.
He said that women weren't as smart as men.
Tracy.
That's what you said.
You've got to shut up. You're not a good wingman. All right, go ahead, Amy. I'm sorry.
I don't know. I don't think. I don't like to clean anything. I mean, I do, but I don't like to clean anything. So I don't really think that figures into women playing video games.
But you obviously are a single individual. Oh, that's redundant. A single person.
That's not true. I could have jumped Ara and gotten married since then.
What type of games do you play, though?
Let's see. None. Ara did introduce me to Katamari. And
a game all about cleaning up trash.
It is, but what spurred me on was not like, oh, look, I'm cleaning up all these batteries and tacks on the floor. It was more like I'm making progress and I'm getting better at manipulating this controller and figuring out where to go. And for me, the whole like idea of like the unreal world on my screen that I'm really supposed to think about what's going on there because I'm not a gamer, that was new. And so adjusting to that and making progress with that, that's what kept me playing, and that's what made me quasi-addicted to it for a little bit there.
Don't you think
away.
There could be some sort of subtext there, some sort of subconscious attraction to a game like that?
Because women like cleaning?
Because there's that tendency there?
I don't understand the tendency. I mean, I certainly don't understand it being biological.
Listen, I never claimed to understand women. But, you should be willing, you should at least be open to the idea that this sort of thing might exist.
I'm not open to the idea that it's biological. Now, I'll give you that for thousands of years, women were sort of forced into domestic roles, which did include a lot of cleaning. And so for some people, that may have cultivated a liking of things being clean. There's certainly nothing biological about it.
You pretty much just described biological nature and then said it wasn't. Am I wrong about this?
Yeah, I think you're wrong, actually. She was describing a cultural thing. Biological means that, like, you know, invariant to whatever happened throughout the years, this is somehow, like, you know...
But my claim is that it's now built into the psyche upon birth.
You're saying it's evolutionary.
Yes.
Yeah. I gotta kind of agree with him, because if you put I'm gonna get him back a little bit, because while you're talking, I'm just thinking about it. If you put down a first-person shooter game and Tetris in front of the average guy, we're saying average... Most guys are going to pick up the first-person shooter, correct?
Yeah, but isn't...
Because we're the hunter-gatherer.
And I'm saying we need to have a second-player co-op mission where the woman goes around with a rag cleaning up the blood.
Hey. aren't most FPSs, when you really get down to it, essentially, I mean, you're cleaning up the hallways. They're filled with monsters.
That's
getting rid of them.
I'm with you there.
You're not cleaning up. You're hunting. It's the hunt.
I mean, didn't they call... You never see The Professional? They called him the cleaner.
Yep. And for the record, Amy, you may not have heard it, but I also pointed out that I have a vagina during today's show. So, I'm with you, sister.
Well, I have a penis, so whatever.
Oh, man. That totally, totally blew my image.
I don't want to think about her being in the shower anymore.
All right, well, you certainly sound like you don't want to be on the air anymore, Amy. So I'm going to let you go, but I certainly appreciate the phone call. If anybody else wants to call in, thank you. 866-536-1100. We actually do have a couple people on the line, so we'll take some more. First of all, we've got Brado. This would be caller number 3, Andrew.
My man.
Brado apparently he's a frequent forum user and chat player, anyway. Chatterboxgameshow.com. There's a live chat. Brado, you're on the air.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Not too much. How are you doing?
Not too bad. You?
I am wonderful. Thank you.
Hey, what's up, Brad?
Hey. First, I'd like to say, Adrian, or Tracy, you've done a really great job, and we're all going to miss you. Everybody in the chat room is going to miss you.
Well, thank you.
So, they're crying.
They should be.
We want you to come back as soon as possible.
He's got the big FM radio gig now.
Yeah.
So, he's leaving us.
I'll drop some hints on that soon.
But I'm calling because, Alon, you are... everyone's agreeing that you are kind of being a sort of sexist male right now, where in today's society with video games, I have girlfriends that would... Like, when we're playing video games, like I could be at a friend's house or whatever... They'll pick up the controller and within a few minutes start playing. Like, my girlfriend, she loves playing Xbox 360 with me. Racing games, shooting games. She loves the blood, guts, and gore. She's not the typical, I gotta vacuum the living room and clean the house and do the dishes kind of person. And I think a lot more girls are getting into gaming as opposed to they should, you know, be cleaning my house or have a co-op mission where
now,
they're cleaning.
Hang on a second. First of all, I want you to realize that I never said they should be. Although I do enjoy it, I never said they should be.
I pay good money to get my house cleaned.
In addition, hang on a second, you need to listen to what you just said. You said that the people you have come over play are not the typical player. You used the word typical, and of course preface it by saying they're not. That, of course, leads me to believe that you do think the typical woman is just as I described.
Okay, so if we took, say, Project Gotham Racing 3 and put it up with your Japanese cleaning game and an average girl who's never played video games before looked at both of them, which one do you think they would probably more or less play? I think more or less probably the racing and not so much the cleaning, because we live in a generation now where this is in the 50s and the guy goes out and does all the work and the woman stays home and cleans.
There's a lot more factors to take into account here. We're talking about tendencies. We're not talking about individual flashy games. Project Gotham 3, really flashy game. It would be impossible to...
Well, I mean, just like, it's the only reason I said it was because it's, you know, your basic, okay, just hold this button and drive and just control the car. It doesn't matter necessarily if they can master the game at all, but it's, you know, I mean, like, it was just the first one that came to mind, really.
Fine. And I'll accept that it's a poor example. But my point being that you can see that women have a tendency to gaming in a certain direction, right? It just exists. It's factual. I mean, you can look at the statistical breakdown of what games they play, and they play a lot more casual games than men. And that's why you think, how is it that there are more women playing video games on this planet? I'm not sure if all of our listeners were aware of that, but it's something like, it's more than 50% women, less than 50% men, obviously, playing video games. And that's because when you go online and you see people playing Yahoo Hearts and casual games like Solitaire and games like Tetris Online.
More strategy-based games.
Yeah. Simple games like that, women are playing these games. And so let's get away from the cleaning metaphor here. Let's point out that they have a certain preference. Right, it's right. Clear, and there's data to back that up. They have a preference which is different than that of men. And knowing that, it is safe to say that there's some sort of biological difference, because I really doubt culture crosses the entire world in the very same way. Now, obviously, there are a lot of similarities in cultures, but something like this, where someone's just going to sit down and play a computer game, decide what they want to play, there's a lot of data to back up the fact that there are differences between men and women. And I think we're all aware of that. And I don't know why everyone's getting so upset at me. And it made a few cracks about cleaning because it's funny, but come on.
I like the co-op mode.
That was awesome.
That was really good. Anyway, we'll be back from break to talk about UAT as soon as we get back.
I can't believe you're saying all of these ridiculous things.
Really? He's right, though! God! Oh, I'm so glad this is my last show.
I've got all this anger towards me, right? And you're all talking about, during the break, all right, Ara's like, this only... I mean, okay, I can see the difference between the biological... Right. But it only matters when you take into account the aggregate. And I'm like, that's what I was talking about, the aggregate.
All right. Let me clarify, I guess, what I was saying. I mean, I think, okay, you know what? If you take, like... really large groups of people, like millions and millions, like, and compare sexes, yeah, there's going to be natural differences in the macro scale. But I guess my point is really that, like, on the micro scale, if you ask, like, anybody on the street, the observations that you have on the macro scale don't apply.
Yeah, but reality is the macro. If you ask anybody on the street, well, of course, when you talk to a single person, your answer is going to deviate all over the place.
Right.
Right.
My point is that, I mean, in practical terms, if you know a difference between certain things on the macro scale, how does it help you?
Because you know that people are going to have a certain tendency in one way or the other. I don't know if that actually helps me in any way.
Right. Okay. Okay.
But we study
be
all sorts of things
then.
That have no
right.
daily purpose.
All right. Well, that was a little too vague. But let me just say that, like, you know, if you I don't know. I lost it.
All right. Listen, let's take another caller. We got two callers. Caller number one, David. All right, David, you're on the air.
All right. I just wanted to say that my gamer girling friends, they pretty much like the same games I do. Like whenever I'm playing Halo and they come over, they show them the controls and they jump right in.
That, of course, is why they are your friends.
But you said gamer girls. What about
No. They aren't gamer girls at all. Sorry.
He means the friends he has that are girls that actually are willing to pick up the controller.
Yeah, I guess he
I told you
that.
Halo was a cleaning game.
It is.
David, how old are you?
I'm 15.
Okay, so at your school, the average girl, does she play Halo?
No.
Is she going to play, like, Bejeweled or Tetris or something like that?
Probably not.
Dude, she's playing Bejeweled up in that mug. She's just not telling you about
exactly.
it.
Exactly. She's on MySpace games, and
Bejeweled
she's doing
is chick crack, yo. She plays that. She doesn't tell you about it. Nintendogs, up in her bed at night.
Zuma, all
oh,
those
definitely.
Stuff. They're on Puzzle. The MySpace games, and they're doing all that stuff.
It's true. Let's take the other caller. Thank you very much, David, but we don't have a lot of time. Thank you for the call. So we got another David.
Hi.
Right. Hey there, David. What do you have to tell us?
Yeah, my comment is that it's the kind of issue that's going to get inevitably... Well, people just get very easily offended, and I think the mistake was made of calling it cleaning, saying Tetris is a game about cleaning, because that's just, you know, subservient activity. And
not necessarily. I mean, I clean my own room.
Yeah, it can be fulfilling, by the way. For anybody who's upset about this, you can contact Mr. Ed Schneider. All right, I don't have his exact information, but look up Ed Schneider. That's Ed with two Ds, E-D-D. He's a professor over at in the New York University somewhere, private school. He is the professor I had over at Indiana University who taught me all this wonderful stuff. Anyway, listen, sorry the call was so short. I appreciate you calling in, David. We will be back next week. R and I. Tracy is gone forever.
Peace.
And hopefully we'll be doing another experiment. I've got two girls in the waiting emailing me who want to do experiments. So we'll get some people soon, and we'll have more in-studio experimentation discussion. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you, Andrew, Ara, and Tracy. We'll be back next week.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.